Well, episode two of the pre-game podcast, and we've made it to episode two. We must have done something right, boys, in the first one, as ever. I'm going to be saying that a lot this season, I think. We are going to get some special guests on, so we better get our thinking caps on. But as ever, joined by Panthers commentator and media man, Jono Bullard, and former Panthers netminder, and the colour guy, of course, on the commentary, Dan Green. Evening, guys.
Good evening.
Repping some cross-check clothing there, Greeno.
I know, yeah, this is an old one. I believe when I lived with Evan Mosey, he did a few things for them, some promotional things, and they gave him a bunch of stuff, and then I think I swiped this one. So
is that Crosstech 2, Jono?
It is. I actually got this at the GB game against Denmark because it was on offer.
And they've not paid for this advertising. Jesus.
No. My whole wardrobe is pretty much cross-check and the odd Panthers polo. That's about it.
There you go. We ought to talk Panthers. That's why we're here. But there you go. Right. We're going to look ahead. We're going to look back. I think there's only one place to start. Very, very interesting signing today. David Levin. I mean, he's got a great little story in his backstory about his career, but just about today. Poor kid got delayed coming in from his flight from Israel. Didn't arrive in Nottingham until 6 o'clock. Didn't get to bed till 6:30. And he was at the rink for 8:45 and on the ice. So that's remarkable for him. First of all, you know, Jono, what do you think of the signing?
He looks a really good signing. I've sort of looked back or tried to look back and see, try and find out as much as I can about him. A number one draft pick for the OHL in 2015. That's not first round, number one overall to the Sudbury Wolves. Scored a lot of points in the OHL. I know we've been talking, he made NHL training camps. He's played in the KHL. He played in the Ice Hockey League last season. I think he has the potential to be an excellent signing for the Panthers.
Greeno, how would you have coped on 90 minutes sleep if you'd have just flown in on a European flight and gone to training?
I know, gosh, sometimes I'd have 9 hours sleep and I still struggled at training. So, yeah, I think 90 minutes. But, you know, that's the kind of thing you want when it shows a good first impression. You know, I'm sure Gary and Omar were impressed. I'm sure he easily could have said, like, oh, no, give it another day and that would have been fine. But, you know, like you said, jump in straight on. I'm sure the guys appreciate it. I'm sure Gary did. And, yeah, I mean, just echo everything Jono said, really. I think it's one of those that, you know, because he is so young, only 23, and, you know, he's not, obviously, like you said, he's played in Austria, but he's not played over here yet. You can't really tell, obviously, until you see someone, but all the signs look very positive, and hopefully he's one of those guys that's just kind of slipped under the radar and maybe teams overlooked him, and, you know, he'll come in and do a really good job for us.
I mean, certainly, I spoke to him today, and I certainly felt a guy who's enthused about hockey, because when I mentioned, you know, about jumping straight on the ice, he basically said, I love hockey, you know, it's my dream, you know, so the passion to see inside of that. And also he alluded as well that his NHL dream isn't over. He, you know, the one of the answers he gave, he suggested that that's still his dream. And I admire that. That's fantastic. It may not have worked out so far, but we've seen there's lots of paths to the NHL. And there's even paths through the UK. You know, we've seen players move on to the NHL. I mean, Liam Kirk is a prime example. Who did you tell me today is at NHL camp, Greener?
Yeah, Jacob Doty, that was here there a couple of years ago. He left here. You know, he was older, not old, but he was, you know, past mid-20s. And I think he then went back to the American League for 2 years. And I think the last 2 years he's been at LA's training camp and he's played a handful of games for them. So, you know, yeah, exactly that. And I think obviously he's only 23. And I think back in the day, the sort of door would close quite quickly on people. But now I think they let players develop more and go away and they can come back. And yeah, I think, you know, whether his NHL dream comes true, just like you said, having that, you know, reaching for the stars mentality, I think is very commendable. So, yeah.
Yeah, it just shows that, you know, with that, the Liam Cook story, getting his NHL contract. Okay, the game's not been played yet. You've not had that first game, and hopefully that won't be too far around the corner. It just showed that there are paths from UK ice hockey to the NHL, which is...
Was Bobby Robbins, who played for Belfast,
didn't he play a few games
for the Bruins after he'd left here as well?
Good call, Jono. There is plenty. It'll be interesting to see the makeup of the squad now, Jono, or say the squad, the match day roster, because there's a vacancy on defence that Archie Hazeldine's been filling. But there's obviously, there's no vacancy forwards when everyone's fit. Who knows if Tanner Sorensen will be fit for the weekend? Let's hope so. So there will have to be some juggling around of personnel by Gary Graham going into, on Friday.
They will. Can I start with Archie Hazeldine first, though? Because I know you brought him up. Because
go.
I think it's a great credit to Archie Hazeldine, the fact that we brought in another player. Mike Caruso, a defenseman, has gone on injured reserve, but we brought in a forward because Archie Hazeldine has been playing so well. At 18 years old, he's trusted to fill that gap. And it's tantamount to the performances that he has been putting in this season. So I think it's great credit to him. And I'm really pleased to see that he will no doubt have a regular spot now while Mike Caruso is out. And he's been very, very impressive at the start of his Panthers career.
I mean, you'd think so. I mean, I guess he could unbalance it and go with 13 forwards. But, that to me does seem very, very, very unlikely. It would leave you very exposed at the back, wouldn't it? It would give you 5D. Yeah. Which wouldn't make sense. I think Jono's point, Dan, I think is a fair one, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, just to touch on Archie, I think he's been outstanding so far. I think he's someone that I don't think many of us thought he would really play much for us. He would be with Leeds and maybe the odd midweek game for us and if he got 10 or 12 games. But, it's looking like he's going to be with us for the next however long while Mike's out. And then, even when Mike comes back, he looks so comfortable playing. I think they're going to have no problem slotting him in. But yeah, I would imagine he will stay as part of a six on D. David obviously dresses hopefully at the weekend. And then I guess the backup goalie, you will, whichever import not starting, will not dress. One of the Lions Brits will dress. And then that means you can have that extra import kind of thing, even when... Mike's back. So, yeah, lots of juggling. And throughout the season, guys come in and out, don't they? Injury, illness, suspension, whatever. So, for now, I think it's great to have an extra body in. Obviously, great result at the weekend. But, we still need a bit more, maybe, a little bit more offense. Hopefully, he can provide it.
Yeah, we'll go back to that in a minute and look ahead to Dundee. But talking about how the backup might work, we've seen both the Panthers... import netminders on the starting roster this season because of injuries. But Greener makes a good point, Jono, that there's going to maybe soon be a time when one of the younger players does make the match day roster. And I know it's very, very unlikely that they will play, but one experience, I'll go to you, Jono, first and then Greener with a netminder angle. But what a great experience for a local kid to not only kind of experience the atmosphere on a game day on a bench in front of a big crowd, but also the match day routine. And I know they've been in and around the team anyway on match day, but also just to be that backup netminder on match day is a huge thing for these young guys.
Yeah, it certainly is. I was talking to Matt Bradbury a couple of weeks ago. I think he was talking about Lucas Sheldon because obviously these guys have been, and him and Matty Bloor have been training with the Panthers as well. And I think the opening game of the season for the Lions, Lucas Sheldon goes in, he's been training with the Panthers all week and he gets a 95% save percentage in Whitley Bay. And Lions just lost by the one goal, two goals to one. And I think that's a phenomenal performance for Lucas. So, it shows the development he's getting by training with the Panthers and having to face those more difficult shots. And he's taking that experience back to the Lions and it's proving great for them. So it's great then that he'll be able to come into the squad and experience all that match day preparation, like you said.
Greedo, it strikes me that, you know, I mean, when you first played for Bracknell, was it back in 2004 time? You must have been, what, early 20s?
I was maybe 21, yeah.
21. So what was that experience like for you as a young British netminder? And that was in the old B&L, wasn't it?
It was the B&L, yeah.
So that was eight import B&L. So, yeah. You know, that was a... I missed the B&L. It was a great little league, wasn't it? But, yeah, what was that experience like coming into a professional hockey club?
It was amazing. And obviously, you know, me being from Bracknell, like, you know, these two kids with us are from here. It just makes it so much better. And it was... I remember even the years before, showing my age here, but with the Super League... I played sort of a handful of games for a couple of years in a row just because of injury. And exactly like Jono was just saying with Luca, you know, I would train with the Bees, you know, in the Super League, which obviously we know how good the standard was, for sort of 4 or 5 weeks. And then when I went back to my other team, you had improved so much in that time. And, you know, them getting the valuable sort of double-edged sword of practicing every day and then playing for your own team, I think it's perfect. But yeah, I think whoever ends up being on the bench for us, they'll both obviously get time on the bench. It's great, you know, and it's, I'm sure they're not really going to play that much this year, but moving forward, giving them this year to settle in with, you know, for me, I know it took me a bit of time to get used to training every day, you know, going to the rink every day, which you obviously don't do with a team like the Lions, and just getting used to the professionalism and how hard it is and the quality of shots and the pace and everything. So it'll be a sort of a learning curve, and it'll take a few years for them. But I think if we can develop both of them now, you know, hopefully in a couple of years, they'll be sort of ready to step in.
We'll save the best till last. So we'll go to Sheffield in a moment. But Dundee on Friday night hockey in Nottingham. Jono, that's quite exciting. You know what? I'm sure there's been another Friday night since then. But I remember, this is testing your knowledge, Jono, a Friday night at home to the Sheffield Steelers. Panthers won 5-1. I think Mike Baisley was in charge.
John Tessier's final game before he went to Switzerland.
Stefan Sjögren scored a penalty shot. Did he not?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. And it was a Forsberg penalty shot.
Yeah, he completely fooled Lehmann, didn't he?
Yeah,
he went one way and just left the puck running, yeah.
I knew you'd pick up on that, but that was a 5-1 win, I think. I remember because I did a radio feature with Joe Cardarelli, a day in the life of Joe Cardarelli, and I just followed him around for the day, which was great. I mean, in radio, painting pictures, was I loved doing that. And it was obviously in the way before, you know, webcasts and all things like that. And I just, for some reason, that stands out. And then I traveled to a wedding in Newcastle that same night. It's amazing how you remember things. But no, I think it was Stefan Sjögren rather than Christian Sjögren that got that penalty shot. I think,
yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it was Sjögren. But anyway, older listeners might be able to paint a picture. But I'm digressing. Friday night hockey. I'm excited by Friday night hockey.
I love Friday night hockey. Friday or Saturday night for me. But I love Friday night hockey. Start of the weekend. What a better way to start the weekend than going to the rink and hopefully watching your team win. It sets you up for the rest of the weekend then.
You could be a Panthers media officer with lines like that. But
keep looking over your shoulder.
But you know what? I mean, you're right. Start the weekend on a Friday and on a great note. It's brilliant.
Yeah, and I just like, there's something about going out on a Friday night that I love. I've always loved, and add my favourite sport into it, and it's the perfect night out. So.
Greener, yeah. What about Dundee? I mean, what threats, let's talk technical, what threats will they pose?
I think it'll be tricky. I mean, I know you obviously think, you know, when I see our team against a team like Dundee, I immediately think we're going to win, which sounds bad, but it's just that historic, we're the Panthers at home against a team like that, we should win, no question. But I mean, you know, they've got some good players. Obviously, Omar was there last year, so he will know them, or, you know, the guys from there last year inside out. We know teams always step up a little bit when they come into our rink. And, you know, we have been a little bit up and down this year. We haven't had that consistency really from the start. So it's a bit of a banana skin for me. You know, I'm still very confident we'll win, especially after last week. But yeah, you know, they've got guys like Sonch who's been scoring lots of points. They've got a decent couple of lines, and sometimes those teams can come into our rink and cause problems. And, you know, it's easy to get up for Sheffield. It's easy to get up for Belfast. But when a team like Dundee, and, you know, no disrespect to them, but a team like that, sometimes you overlook them, especially with a big game the next night. So, you know, full of confidence for the Panthers, but it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a tricky one, I think.
You make a good point, Greener. No, you know, it's easy for a club to overlook someone like Dundee coming in, but that's where you become unstuck, don't you? And maybe this is where the clubs come unstuck in the past. So it's crucial that the guys, and kind of relate to Saturday, they had that big high on Sunday, shall I say, Greener, and it's crucial that they don't just think it's going to be an easy ride, because it's a cliche, but any team can come into this barn and win, can't they?
Yeah, I mean, I remember the year, going back to the year, God, it's like 10 years ago now, where we won the league. And that was when it was the two conferences. And I remember, like, you played 20 games against the Scottish conference, and we went like 19-1 against them. Mm. And that's the reason we won the league, because we didn't take a night off and we didn't really lose to those sides. And yeah, it's, you know, I'm not saying it's easy to beat them, but it is easy to get up to play Sheffield. It's, you know, it's a big game. It's a sellout, Belfast, Cardiff, whatever. But, you know, it's those teams that you probably, you know, some of the guys might think, oh, well, if we can beat Sheffield, we can beat Dundee. And all it takes for them is their goalie to have a good night and they score a couple of power play goals. And, you know, it can be difficult. So, yeah, I think Gary's going to be stressing, you know, Sunday's important in Sheffield. Of course it is. And that's the bigger game in terms of people looking at the score. But actually, Dundee is a league game and it's going to be really tricky. So, yeah.
Yeah, Jono, I'm sure you'll have been done your research already.
I have the spreadsheet up in front of me.
They will be a threat, Dundee. I mean, you know,
Greener mentioned Philippe Sanch. He's already got 10 points this season, 4 goals and 6 assists in 7 games. One of their new signings, Elijah Barriga, he's come from the NCAA, straight from the NCAA, 4 goals and 7 assists in 7 games. So they've got some firepower in there. They've got some firepower that could probably really hurt us. Fabrizio Ricci, their former player from 18-19, he's come back. He's their captain. 4 assists he's got. So they have got players who can damage us quite easily. So they certainly shouldn't be taken for granted. There should certainly be no complacency. They gave Belfast 2 very difficult games at the weekend. Mm. So, you know, it's not going to be an easy game by any stretch of the imagination.
Mm. Just going back to that Panthers-Steelers game, Sebastian Tessier, Sebastian again, Emezik and Shogun. Mm. So there you go.
Yeah, it was. I'm pretty sure it was Tessier's last game before he went to Switzerland.
It was his last home game. I think he played the next night on the road. That was 25th of November 2005. And I feel that like he played again very soon on the road. And that was his last game. Sunday night, I think, in Cardiff. Nottingham won 3-0. And Tessier scored twice. There you go. Okay, let's talk about the Steelers. I mean, we touched on it, didn't we, on the post-game podcast, but now I've had time to reflect on it. The urgency, Greener, that the guys played with, the desire and the will to find that way to win was very admirable.
Yeah, and I think, you know, me and Jono talked about it sort of pre-game on the webcast, and you could tell straight away we were saying, oh, well, you know, we'll see how the first 2 minutes goes. And I think in the first 40 seconds, we'd had 2 really good chances, and you could see that we came out the gate with some intensity, some passion. The crowd responded, it snowballs, and you start to play well. And, you know, obviously Sheffield had their moments, because they're good, because they're a good team, and they, you know, they got back in it. But especially being 2 or 3 guys down, coming off a couple of poor results with a lot of pressure on, you know, when Sheffield took the lead in that game, it would have been easy to crumble, you know, blame the injuries and, you know, whatever. But yeah, they just stuck to it, worked their way out of it. Some really big individual performances. But I think people were most impressed, you know, just apart from the result, just the way they played, the resilience, it was physical. They played a bit more in your face style hockey, and I think the fans really appreciated that.
Do you think, Jono, when Gary Graham talks about identity in his interviews, that is what he's looking for? He'd have said to his players, that's my identity.
Yeah, nobody had a night off on Sunday. Everybody played their part. And think about what had happened the weekend before and things that had happened since. That team was under a lot of pressure to produce something, and they went out and produced it. And let's not forget, they were three players down as well. Luke Ferrara was missing. Tanner Sorensen was missing. Mike Caruso was missing. So three good players out of the squad, and they still managed to produce a victory. I think it was a really gritty performance and a really hard-working performance as well. And a really, really, really good victory. Just one player I would like to pick out as well, because I know me and Green had talked on the night and we was talking about man of the match. Alex Dubois, obviously, EIHL Save of the Week, of course, this week. An astonishing performance by him. Some incredible saves. Adam Brady, of course, popping up with the winner. Jeremy Welsh with a couple of goals. But having reflected on the game like you, Chris, one player I do want to pick out was Matthew Gagnon. I thought he had an outstanding game on Sunday. Really controlled the defence. Obviously started that rush for the overtime winner.
Yeah, it was just a great play.
An absolute presence all over the ice. He's a player I've been massively impressed with all season so far. He just seems to get better and better, and he's such a leader out there as well. Yeah. And I just think it's not something I think me and Green have talked about much on Sunday, but having thought about the game since, I think Matthew Gagnon deserves an awful lot of praise.
You're spot on, Jono, and I think Matthew Gagnon's having a terrific season and probably gone a little unnoticed by certain fans and fan bases. You know, they see him just as this fighter. He is much more than that. Yes, he's a deterrent on the ice, but he is much more than that. Someone's ringing me. I don't recognize the number. They'll have to wait. He's a deterrent on the ice, but he's a damn skillful hockey player.
Yeah, and I think he's kind of, you know, he was here sort of 3 or 4 years ago, and, you know, he was still relatively young then. I think he's, you know, evolved and grown a bit. And, you know, Jono will probably be able to tell me off the top of his head, but I don't even really remember him getting any penalty minutes so far. You know, the first year, you know, obviously the league was a bit tougher. He was fighting a lot, but he was picking up a lot of other, you know, minors. But, you know,
he got that double minor on Sunday, didn't he, when he got tangled with Brendan Connolly.
But, you know, he's taking Connolly with him, so it's worth it. But he's not putting the team in a bad spot. He was on the ice for the 5-on-3 against. He chips in with points. Super tough. Great guy. Yeah, and I think, like you said, he's gone from the guy that was sort of a bit one-dimensional. You know, I'll be honest, I love Gags. I didn't expect to see him on the ice in 3-on-3 overtime against Sheffield, not with some of the D we've got. And there he was, you know, partly setting up the winning goal. So, I think he's really evolved into a good all-round defenceman. And like you said, he's definitely gone a bit unnoticed, but he's been really good.
Couple of things before we finish. Must mention our thanks to Trent Bridge for letting the guys go down and play cricket. They got together with the guys from Trent Bridge, including Jake Ball and the coaches there, and Fateh Singh was there as well, and some of the community coaches. A massive thanks to them, because the boys had a whale of the time. They started off by pushing the nets back and they had a little game where they basically had to hit it and run and see if they could make it to these two cones, and then their nets came out and they got to talk techniques and stuff. Greener, would that be something you'd love to have done if you were available?
Yeah, it seemed really fun. Actually, it's funny because I heard was Gary there doing it?
Gary was there, yeah. I think because I heard him head off with a shot.
I heard him saying how sore his arm and his shoulder were the next day. It seems, you know what? We all love doing, when you just really play one sport, you love to just be able to let your hair down and try something else without having to be good at it. So, you know, whether it's, you know, a lot of them play golf and stuff, but especially the North Americans, I bet most of them have never even held a cricket bat. You know what I mean? So it's,
yeah,
it's,
some of them held it a bit like a baseball bat.
Yeah, I'm sure. But yeah, I know a lot of the guys had fun. I know Matthew got out first ball, which I saw, which was fun.
And got a tweet from Stuart Broad about it. He hangs out with the big wheels.
Great, great fun. And it's great to have those relationships with those other sort of, you know, big clubs and big sports. So, yeah, it looked great.
Yeah, no, one funny moment where Debo nearly took the coach's head or arm off, I think it was, literally missed him by millimetres. So that was lovely. And finally, I've asked Chris Gadsby to send me this a second time, and I've lost it again already, but I'm not going to do our predictions because I think people just get bored if we just guess every week and we can talk about far more fun stuff. But anyone know who was top of the leaderboard that we're going to now cancel?
I guess it was you, Chris.
So did we get any others right? Did any of us get any others right?
Oh, you see, look,
I got the Sheffield Panthers score right, but I didn't put overtime. I think you called it spot on, Chris.
Well, I only called it overtime. I'm being really honest. I was going to go 3-2. And when you went 3-2, I just said 3-2 overtime. So you actually led me to that. I guess that decision by you led me to victory by a few points. So Chris will be mad because he's done a spreadsheet, which I now just can't find. I've deleted his WhatsApp. I must have done.
I think I got quite a few of the who would wins right, but I don't think, thinking back now, I got any exact scores. But
no, I don't think I did. I had a quick look yesterday and I don't think I got any correct score. But I like you, Dan. I think I got a few of the... I got whoever won, but not the right score. So
I do this annoying thing with WhatsApps. When I've dealt with like the question or whatever, I delete it. So if it's still in my WhatsApp, I'm like, right, gotta sort that out, gotta sort that out. And Chris texts me about something else tonight, and I was probably like, oh yeah, that's okay, delete that. And I've got rid of his spreadsheet. So he did all that for nothing. But at least we knew. I think it was 13 for me, 9 for Jono, and 8 for Greener, or the other way around. So it was very close indeed. And just before we finish, we've got just a couple of minutes. Jono, anything else struck you from the Elite League over the weekend?
Not really. I've got to be honest, I've not had much chance to have a look at everything else because I've been at the cricket all week and then I've been sorting out research for this weekend, so I've been purely really concentrating.
But Coventry won again. I mean, that's one thing.
Coventry have had a great start, haven't they?
Guildford won twice, I think.
Guildford, yeah.
But I said it was something I said to Danny Stewart in the post game interview after we played them. Is you must be delighted with your start to the season, and I said you seem to have a very balanced squad, and I think that's where they are doing really well is the fact the squad looks so balanced. They've got good net minding, good defence, some really good forwards. I think they could be a real team to watch this season.
And Glasgow, Greener, lost three times, was it? Three times in 4 days?
And, yeah.
And I mean, they are really struggling right now.
Yeah, but, you know, I think it's one of those leagues where you can do that and then you can sort of win one or two. And if they get some favourable fixtures, go on a bit of a run, it's, you know, you can quite easily turn it around. But yeah, I think obviously losing, they had a 3-4, or, you know, which is tough anyway. And to lose all three of them is not ideal. But I just think maybe the Coventrys and the Guildfords maybe took a bit of a step up this year. And maybe, you know, Glasgow are normally one of the next ones after the top four. And yeah, I think they're going to be, you know, obviously if Guildford and Coventry keep up how they're doing, they're really going to be sort of struggling to keep up with them. So, but, you know, they have, you know, Matthew Waugh and Laporte and obviously Stephen Dixon. And I think they've got some good players, but again, a lot of new players. We obviously haven't seen them yet, but I'm sure they'll turn it around. But yeah, I mean, they need to do it in the next few weeks or they're going to be behind the eight ball already.
Yeah, absolutely right. I think we're about done and dusted. That is episode 2 of the Panthers pre-game podcast. You can catch us obviously on the Panthers website. Jono, you've got us all around all the podcast providers, haven't you?
Apple, Spotify, Google, so far, but hopefully more to follow.
So yeah, more to follow. So wherever you get your podcasts, you'll be able to find us post-game and this pre-game one as well. But for now, thanks very much for joining us. We'll see you next time.